Hello. This is Collective Noun. For a high quality program, press 1. You have pressed 2.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Welcome along to the show tonight.
And we've got to say, yep, a big hello to anyone travelling to or from an airport at the moment.
Yep.
We've been thinking today, Dom, there's not enough radio segments for those people.
Well, because isn't that the most exciting part when, you know, so rarely do you get the joy for most people of thinking, I'm off to the airport or I'm home from the airport.
And, you know, breakfast radio, drive radio, they're all about people going to and from work.
Yeah.
No one cares about people going to and from the airport
on
airport pickup runs.
And we think this is really an area we can capitalise on. Yep. Like, this is finally, we can be the show that finally seizes this opportunity.
There is an untapped market.
Yeah.
So if that's you,
yeah,
if your ears are burning as we speak, we have a brand new game up next.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom. Just off the runway, we're gonna guess where you've come from.
On 131060, this is a game for anyone on their way home from an airport. We believe that we can figure out where you've flown from.
That's it.
By just asking you 3 questions.
So look, 131060, if that is you, you've just gotten off the plane, maybe you're in an Uber, a taxi, a friend's giving you a ride home. We can figure out where you've just flown in from.
It's a little bit of a welcome home.
Yeah, something like that.
Or welcome to your destination.
Yeah.
If you're flying within Australia.
Absolutely.
To not your home.
All right, well, let's do an example of how this works, Zach. So you,
I'm jet setting.
You've jet
setting. I'm in an Uber and I'm on my way home from the airport.
Great.
I've just had a few mints, enjoying some free water.
Brilliant. I'm going to play this game with you, Zach. Firstly, how long was your flight?
About 6 hours.
Oh, 6 hours. Okay. How long were you there, the place you've been?
I was there for 4 days.
4 days. And what footwear were you wearing most of the time?
In-close shoes.
In-close shoes, okay.
Sneakers.
Sneakers.
Yeah.
All right. In that case, I reckon 6 hours, there for 4 days wearing sneakers. I reckon you might have come from, I'm going to go Thailand.
Incorrect. Perth. I'm living on the East Coast in this situation.
Okay, so in this hypothetical.
Yeah, you needed to know where I was living.
That's a good point.
that's a piece of information we'll know from the callers.
Well, it's good we
find
that
out. But you
didn't
know with me.
Yeah, that's true. Is it 6 hours from the East Coast to Perth?
Roughly.
Okay.
I think depending on conditions, it can be shorter.
How was Perth?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Sandy.
Yep.
The soil's hard to build on. I was looking at houses.
Did you visit the new Perth Stadium?
Went past it.
Optus
it's
Stadium.
Looking good.
Yep.
From the outside, there wasn't anything going on in there at the time.
All right. Well, yeah. And a big hello to anyone listening in Perth who might have seen Zach on his travels.
Yep.
While he was there. 131060. If you are on your way home from the airport right now, just by asking you 3 questions, we can tell you where you've flown in from. We'll play it up next.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom. Just off the runway, we're gonna guess where you've come from.
On 131060, I know what you're thinking. Finally, a radio segment for people driving home from the airport.
That's it.
The way this works, we believe by asking you just 3 questions, we can figure out where you have been, whether it was on a holiday, a business trip, meeting family,
maybe
all the other variations of why you could be driving home from the airport.
Maybe can take you tour through Europe, something like that. And look, this is the first time I played this game. We don't know how hard it's going to be. It might be hard.
Well, there's a lot of places in the world.
There really are. And my geography knowledge isn't great, but let's get into it. We got Ali, who has just touched down on the Gold Coast on 131060.
Ali, how long was the flight?
Oh, how long was the flight? Just over an hour.
Ooh. Okay, so we're thinking within the country here, Don.
We are. Ali, were you there for business or leisure?
Well, mostly business, but a little bit of leisure.
Okay. Bit of fun, bit of work. Zach, you got one more question.
And Ali, what was the average low temperature where you went?
probably about 18, 19.
Okay, wow. So we're thinking north or south here. She can't go east or west, I don't think,
in an
from
hour.
The Gold Coast.
No. So
is it Sydney or Cairns?
Yeah, those are basically our options.
And I think with a low of 18, it has to be Cairns.
Yeah, Sydney would get lower than that, wouldn't it? Would it be Cairns or Townsville? Townsville would be an hour, I reckon. I'm thinking Townsville.
Okay, you can go Townsville if you want, but I'm telling you it's Cairns.
Ellie, have you been in Townsville?
No.
Where were you?
I was in Sydney.
Okay. Oh, what?
Okay. Surely Sydney's got a lower low than 18.
Okay. Well, it was hot in Sydney over the last 24 hours, apparently. Didn't get that one.
All right, well, we can move on to Liz, who's just touched down in Canberra on 13 10 60. Liz, the first question I got for you, how many layers were you wearing there on your last day?
Only one.
Oh, only one layer, so not too cold. Liz hasn't flown in from Antarctica.
Did you need a passport to go to where you went?
No.
Okay, within the country again, Dom.
Interesting. Liz, who did you go there with?
My partner and some friends.
Oh, okay. We have no idea here, Dom. Okay, one layer would mean that either Liz was inside the whole time or went to somewhere a bit warmer.
I reckon Liz has gone. Also, I think Liz has gone north because I reckon you couldn't get away with one layer anywhere south at the moment.
Could she go where Ali just called from, to the Gold Coast?
That's a great one. Liz, have you been on the Gold Coast?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, come on. Woo! Oh, look at that. Outstanding. How was it, Liz? Good trip?
It was a great trip. We missed our flight on the way back, though.
Okay. Well, that's never good. You want to finish strong, don't you?
Yeah. Well, either way, we got the point from it, so I'm glad the flight got delayed.
Yeah, that's right. We wouldn't be doing this call otherwise.
One more, Zach. We got Sarah, who's just touched down in Melbourne on 13 10 60. You got the first question for Sarah.
Sarah, at your destination, could you speak the language?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Sarah, did you bring back any souvenirs? And if so, what were they?
We bought a wooden cheese board.
Okay. Oh, no.
All right, you got one more question.
This is hard. Did you take any Instagram pictures while you were there, Sarah?
I did, yes. Quite a few.
Okay, so it's a holiday, I'm thinking, Dom.
Yeah.
I think you... From Melbourne, where would you be getting a cheese
board? Well, I was thinking maybe Sarah's just popped over to Adelaide and done the Barossa Valley.
Yeah,
there's a lot
good.
Of cheeses there.
Can you fly that? What's that flight like? That's
flight,
pretty short.
45-ish minutes, Melbourne, Adelaide.
Because I was thinking down south to Tasmania.
Oh, that's good.
That's pretty well known for cheese as well.
Get some good cheese in Tassie. I'm backing you in. Sarah, have you been in Tasmania?
Nope. It was a too long flight and one short flight. So three flights in total.
Okay,
I'm hearing an accent there too, I think. Sarah, did you go home?
Yes, I was wondering if my accent would give it away.
So where have you been?
Cape Town, South Africa.
Yeah.
South Africa. Okay.
All right. Sarah did very well giving one-word answers.
That's true.
If she had spoken a little longer,
that's true.
I think we would have got it.
Well, in saying that, I've heard Tasmania called the South Africa of Australia.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom. This is Dom's Google History.
Dom, I think the easiest way to get to know someone is by what they search on the internet. You can find out so much information.
Sometimes stuff the other person didn't necessarily want broadcast on the radio, but that's fine too. That's great too.
That's why each week we go through Google history. You don't know what we've discovered. You don't know what we're going to read out. But what you do have to do is explain the weird and wonderful things that you searched.
Always terrifying because I have no memory of what I've Googled. So what did you find when you went through my history this week?
The first one, Tuesday at 2:26 p.m. What will happen if Facebook runs out of room?
I don't see why that one's so funny.
What do you mean, if Facebook runs out of room?
Well, you know, if you're like...
What do you think, Mark Zuckerberg's printing out every photo and putting it in his house?
No. Do you know how, like, if you get a bunch of videos on your computer, right, like, you run out of memory eventually?
Zuckerberg's no longer running it from his basement.
No,
that's
not
an issue.
But there's a hell of a lot of videos being posted there.
Oh, do you think you're the first to think of that? Not the smartest developers in the world.
I'm just saying, they can't have infinite amount of storage, can they?
Why not?
Well, because that's a hell of a lot of storage.
Yes.
My point is, they would need to have, like, because I'm thinking I could have maybe like a few TV series or you know, like a few hour long movies on my computer.
Yeah.
They would have so much content clogging up their memory.
Correct.
How do they? I'm just wondering, is there like a day where they're going to
be
like...
Well, how much can you fit on a USB?
Geez, good question. Depends on the USB.
And they have massive, 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 massive servers.
Yeah. I'm just saying it is possible they could one day run out. And what would happen if that did? Would I be told, sorry, you can't post your photo to Facebook today because they're run out of room?
It's not something you need to concern yourself with. You can be relieved of that stress. And that's why Zuckerberg's not replying to your emails. Because he's like, we've got this covered. The next thing you Googled, Monday at 11:48 a.m., how to apply for the block. You thinking of a career change. Well, you don't like this radio gig.
No, I do. I love doing this show, Zach, but I'm just thinking, you know, it would. I reckon it'd give the show a bit of a boost if I was a block contestant.
Right.
And what I didn't tell you, I was going to ask you to, like, if I was going to do it, I'd want to do it with you.
Okay.
Because I know you, I mean, you do some gardening.
I'm about 1,000 times more handy than you, and I'm hopeless. So I don't think we're going to be a good combo.
They might put us on as the light entertainment duo. Okay. Do you know what I mean? The ones who don't know what they're doing. Or we could be
have
like...
Have you ever picked up a hammer? We actually have a video of you trying to saw something. Okay. And you were using it like a hammer.
That's true. I've learned a bit since then. I know that you use hammers for that now. My point
saws
is,
go back and forth. Hammers go up and down.
We could be like the mole.
I thought you figured that out as a toddler. Didn't you have like toy tools?
I did have toy tools, but I was just as useless with them.
Yeah.
My point
is... You weren't allowed to use them. You were blocked from the work site.
I wanted to look into it because I thought you and I could go on the show as like the... Some sort of maybe mole contestants who don't actually know what they're doing.
Mm.
Be a bit of fun. Do you know what I mean? Apply as the light entertainment. Because they always have a light entertainment. I've never seen the show.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming they put in like someone who's not very good every now and then. It's a bit of a joke.
It's not like Australian Idol from the early 2000s.
Right.
Where everyone has a bit of a chuckle at the people who can't sing.
Do you know what? I often, when I watch those videos, I think it was a blessing I was born a few years later.
100%. You would be one of them.
I would have been one of those people who was awful in the auditions that you see Dicko and Mark Holden turning their seats around because they're laughing. That would have been me if I was old enough to audition in 2003.
The last thing you Googled, I don't know if it's connected to the block or not. Friday at 6:48 p.m. When is it appropriate to wear overalls? You're going for a real workman vibe.
Oh, no, I just think overalls are a really good look.
Oh, please wear some. Please buy yourself some denim overalls because I know some people can pull them off.
Yeah.
Those people aren't dumb.
Why couldn't I pull off overalls?
Well, because some people that looks like, you know, kind of street and urban, you would look like you're Amish.
Okay, chuck a straw hat on me and some overalls and send me into the Australian Idol audition room. Let's do this.
I'm going to sing Cotton Eye Joe. Here we go.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Dom, you know on the side of this show I do a bit of charity work. I actually run my own charity, the SFROS, the Society for the Restoration of Outdated Sayings. We get old, outdated sayings, ones that aren't very relevant anymore.
Yeah.
We give them an update, a fresh lick of paint.
Yep.
And we bring them to 2018.
Well, I know that it's a big thing. You put a lot of time into it. You and your society meet at a local RSL one night a week and kind of go through the sayings you think should be updated.
This week, Dom, we're updating as high as a kite.
Okay.
That one's going to be gone, and I have three suggestions to replace it with. Now, as high as a kite, it's an issue for a number of reasons. Firstly, no one uses kites anymore.
Well,
kites are at an all-time low.
Which is quite bad as far as kites go.
Yeah, that's the opposite of what they should be doing.
Look, I would say I don't think kites are completely gone, but I certainly think they're out of the mainstream.
The next issue is they're not that high.
I guess,
do you know, that's only 10, 20 metres.
Well, that's what you think. When kites were invented, it might have been before aeroplanes. Kites probably came around before aeroplanes.
Yeah, kites were definitely around before aeroplanes.
Are you sure?
Aeroplanes have only been around for like 100 years.
And how long have kites been around
for? Longer than that.
Right. Okay. My point is, maybe when they invented kites, that was their highest point of reference.
Yeah.
But since then, we've had planes and helicopters.
It's also
and...
possible that kite refers to the bird kite.
Okay. Even then, planes go higher.
But that even actually just makes the saying worse. Because it's confusing. You're like, do you mean the kite that you fly in the sky with a spool of string? Or do you mean the eagle?
You've convinced me. The saying's got so many problems.
Shred it, Dom.
Shred it. All right.
High as a kite is gone. We have three solutions. You get to pick which one.
Okay.
Our first one, as high as property prices in Sydney. What do you think?
I mean, that's pretty good. That certainly evokes the same message. My concern is, are we expecting property prices to ever fall in Sydney?
I don't think so. I think they're just going up and up and up.
Always?
Okay.
Well, in that case, maybe it will work for longevity reasons.
Next option, as high as Donald Trump's opinion of himself. That's pretty high.
And that's never going down either.
No.
So that's a good one. I don't mind
or
that.
Or as high as Snoop Dogg at a cannabis convention. That's pretty high as well.
They don't have conventions, do they?
Probably. He runs them.
Probably true. All right. Okay. Well, Do you know what? I'm thinking,
what are you locking in?
Of all of those ones, the one that instantly conveyed to me a sense of something that was really astronomically high was property prices in Sydney.
Yeah. Oh, that's, you're going to go with that one.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's unexpected. I thought that was the one that you were going to throw by the wayside.
No, I do like the other two, but I just feel like they depend on certain personalities, whereas everyone can relate to the property prices.
All right. High as a kite is gone from now on. Everyone says as high as property prices in Sydney.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Zach, I've invented a new board game that I'm pretty confident is going to replace. It's more of a card game. Cards Against Humanity, gone. Playing cards, gone. Anything else you do at games night, gone. My new one's going to take over.
You're not known for your inventions. So this is a surprise. You've just said to me off air, I invented a board game. I thought, what is this about?
Well, I've created it myself. It's called Dom's D&Ms.
Okay, hang on. Oh, you put your own name in the title?
Well, I mean, if it blows up, you kind of want to, capitalize on this.
D&M as in deep and meaningful?
Yeah.
So Dom's deep conversations.
That's the idea of it. Because how often do you sit around at games night and you all make jokes and you laugh or whatever and you think, I wish this would turn into a deep conversation?
Never. That's the opposite of the idea. It's meant to be some light entertainment.
Yeah, but you'd love to really go deep with your friends, wouldn't you? And have some good chats, some good honest chats. Anyway,
I feel like this board game is tricking people into having deep and meaningfuls with you.
Well, I'll run you through how it works.
Which I'm not sure why you would want to do that.
No, it's voluntary. And I should mention as well that I'm putting in an initial order. This is, like, I'm not joking. I found a website that custom makes this, and I've put in an initial order, and I can discount if I order a few. So I'll need to know if you want in on this. Basically, the way the game works, Zach, is I've been working on these for a few months now. I've got 220 questions that provoke deep and meaningful conversations. One question per card. You put the cards on the table, you pick it up and you ask the person next to you the question and you move on card by card.
It sounds like the worst game in the world. What are some of the questions you'd ask?
Some of the questions, who was your favourite teacher at school?
That's not deep and meaningful. Well, that's just a boring question. It's like, it's the get to know you game that you played when you went to your first class at uni.
Yeah.
And they threw a ball around and you could only talk when you were holding the ball. You've turned that into a board game. Oh, everyone loved that game. Jeez, if people were thinking while they're getting the ball thrown to them, it's like, I wish I could play this on Saturday nights.
Maybe I've got a market at universities then. Introductory tutes. They'd love that.
I think you need to aim age way lower.
What do you mean?
Four-year-olds.
What? Okay, hold on a second. You think four-year-olds want to have D&Ms?
No, it just sounds like from what you've pitched so far, that's the level of intellect you'd need to engage with the game.
Okay,
right. A toddler.
Let me ask. Let me ask you a question. Let me give you another example. Sorry, here's a good one. Tell me the story of your first kiss. Yep. That's one of the questions.
Right.
Okay,
these aren't deep and meaningful. This is just trivia about people's lives.
Yeah, I think it's a great game. I already have.
It's like obviously your friends aren't giving you enough information. You don't feel like that your friendship is close enough, and so you're trying to trick them into giving you information.
Okay.
They're being very distant. If they're not offering this information in general conversation, they don't want to talk to you about it.
This is not the first time in this segment you've used the word trick. I'm not tricking anybody into playing Dom's DMs with me.
Why can't you just have those conversations normally?
Well, because it's a little bit of fun, Zach, and also I'll win every time we play the game.
Well, how do you score?
I think it's more just generally people know this person's sharing the most, they're winning this game. But the point is...
Oh, so there's no scoring system. So really what you've done is you've printed up some cards with questions on them.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's and not a board game. That's not a card game either. There's no way to score.
Mm.
There's no way to win.
If it doesn't go very well with my friends, I'm considering taking the cards on dates.
Yeah.
And just using them as conversation. Put them in the center of the table.
We'd have to get a date first. Oh. That would be the tough thing. And if you say I'm bringing a board game I made myself, I think that's going to reduce the chances.
This is Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
This is Collective Noun's Out of Context News.
Making Out of Context News tonight, Donald Trump went to McDonald's and saw that they renovated the playground.
I just saw that. I said, boy, this is exciting. Could be the most exciting part of this visit.
Also, Kim Kardashian is doing a uni group assignment for her maths class.
We're on a group chat 24/7, and it's always like, okay, wait, what formula are you using, and what's this?
And Pauline Hanson's game of Monopoly has gotten out of hand.
We have over 200,000 houses, and we need to address that.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Last night on the show, Zach, I was telling a story of somebody who had received one less nugget than they had intended to in their 20-nugget pack from a fast food place. They were so angry about it that they dropped the F-bomb numerous times in their story. And while recounting this on air, we had to think of a last-minute swearing substitute, because obviously we can't use that word on the show.
Yeah.
And we panicked.
We panicked. We realized as the microphones went on, Dom, while recounting the story, you couldn't use the swear words.
Yes.
So I came up with block instead of the word that you needed to use. And I thought that worked pretty well, but you're saying that that wasn't good enough.
Well, my concern is you said that the block is, I think you were using block in context of the TV show on Channel 9 hosted by Scott Cam.
Yeah, well, and that was the first thing that came to my mind.
Yeah. And so we
hit TV show.
We told the, you know, the story that the guy was like, they've only put 19 blocking nuggets in here. And it only occurred to me driving home, Zach, that if Scott Cam or anyone from the block was to hear that, they could be a bit upset.
Yeah.
I mean, we've made their hit show a swear word. And I don't think, you know, when Scott Cam puts his tool belt on in the morning and heads off to work, I don't think he intends to be a swear word.
No.
So, firstly, deep apologies to Scott Cam and the entire team at the block. We will not be doing that again. But secondly, Zach, we do need to come up, I think, with a swearing substitute for when this incident arises again.
I would like to take suggestions, I think, because... I think when people were kids, their parents gave them swearing substitutes, or your parents didn't want to swear in front of you, so they'd use a substitute themselves. And I think that's probably a good place to start.
I think that's good. 131060, if you do have a swearing substitute that you use, that your parents used growing up, anything that can kind of get the ball rolling. Well, I guess we can pick which ones we like to adopt into the show.
My parents used what I think is a pretty common one, and that's just sugar.
Sugar. Okay.
So you'd go, sugar, if you kicked your foot.
Sugar was a problem in my household as well, but that
for
was
another reason.
It's more of a diet-related issue there. Look, we had a bunch. I mean, my mum is adamant she's never said a swear word in her life.
Yeah.
But she will use the word flipping with the same level of anger as if she is swearing. I've heard her once tell somebody with full rage to flip off.
Yeah.
Which is one of the more entertaining things I've watched my mum do, to be completely honest.
Doesn't she also use blinking?
Oh, blinking's another one, yeah. If you come home blinking late again... It is impressive. I'm not sure anyone told her that those aren't the swear words.
Right, she thinks that they are.
I think she might actually believe those are the swear words. Mm. But look, those are all good options. Sugar, blinking, flipping. 131060. What was used as swear word substitutes, maybe when you were growing up or maybe you've heard used, that we can adopt into our vocabulary? Give us a call. We should clarify before we start taking calls on this.
We just want the substitute.
Yes.
And not what it's substituting.
We don't need you to say, well, instead of saying... then say the swear word, I would say this.
Yeah.
Do you think that's clear?
Yeah.
Okay, great. We've got Tom in Brisbane on 131060. What's your swearing substitute, Tom?
My swearing substitute. So this one kind of like whip around, you know, depending on what day of the week it was, but flaming galahs.
Okay. That's pretty good. That's pretty Aussie.
Yeah. Is flaming...
Yeah, flaming galahs.
Flaming galahs. Is that...
Alf Stewart.
No, he's flaming mongrel, is he?
I think it's Galah.
It is Galah? Okay.
So.
Well, that's, I mean, look.
From Home and Away.
That's
or
how,
Neighbours, which one?
Home and Away.
Home and Away.
That's how Elf got around the needing a swearing substitute throughout his career.
That's right, because he needs to get angry on the show. Obviously, they can't swear at 6:30 on Channel 7.
Yeah. You don't know a lot of Australian.
I was a Neighbours guy.
Right, okay.
I never watched Home and Away.
Yeah, well, so that's how they got around it. So we could work with Flaming Galah on this show.
I was more of a Stingray.
Were you? Oh, when Stingray died, that's the saddest ever. I still have
Stingray died?
Oh, spoiler for 15 years ago on Neighbours. Pippa, on 131060, what's your swearing substitute?
Hey, guys, it's Fluff.
Fluff, okay, that's a good one. Now,
but I feel like Fluff, that sounds like something nice and soft.
Well, I mean, we weren't even, this is how correct the language was in my house growing up. We couldn't say fart until I was 15.
Wait, hang on. Was the ban lifted at 15?
Yes.
So it was like on your 15th birthday, it was like, congratulations, you can say fart now.
Yeah.
You can go and you said, would you like to use it, son? And you stood up from the table and said, fart.
That's it. And I'm told at 30 I can say bloody. Right. So there's a scaling system.
Tears running down your parents' face. He's a man now.
Yeah, that's it. So we had to use Fluff to talk about farting back then. So I'm wondering whether Fluff might confuse people. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So I don't mind it, but they might think we're talking about a different bodily function on that one. Kyle, on 131060, what's your swearing substitute, Kyle?
Shut the front door.
I was terrified you were going to say a different word there, but okay, shut the front door. That's pretty good.
Led us astray a little bit.
Yeah, shut the front door is not bad. In fact, I do remember a friend growing up, their grandparents did sugar honey iced tea, which is a little bit of a A little bit of spelling out the first letter of each word.
Oh, that's clever.
A little bit sneaky.
Hey?
I remember when I put that together when I was 12 years old and I ran home to Mum and I said, you won't believe what the McKenzie grandparents were saying, Mum.
Yep. So there's significant moments through your life. You're swearing, 12 years old, you learnt that one. 15, you're allowed to say fart.
Yeah, that's it. Who knows what the next step is, really? Wait and see.
Right across Australia, you're listening to Collective Noun with Zach and Dom.
Day or nay?
Dom, there's so many international days of this, national days of that, every single day. There's so many of them that I don't think you'll be able to pick which ones are real, which ones are fake. I found three that are occurring tomorrow, June 1st.
Okay, well, obviously we are, 5 minutes away from entering winter for 2018. Are any of these potential days related to winter?
No.
No. Okay, we'll forget that.
I have 3 days in front of me. Two are real. One is fake. All you need to do is pick the fake one, Dom.
Yep.
The first one is Fish and Chip Day, celebrating fish and chips.
So is the idea of Fish and Chip Day... I guess that everybody gets fish and chips or just thinks of fish and chips or is there
You celebrate by eating fish and chips, yeah.
Right, okay. I mean, look, I'll be honest. I imagine that'd be a bad business model for fish and chip store owners if people only did this once a year. That would probably hurt.
Why? But no, it doesn't say that you can only have fish and chips on this day. It's like on this day, everyone has fish and chips.
Do you know what? I'm happy to get on board with Fish and Chip Day if that is a real day. I don't mind it. What's your next one?
World Milk Day.
Okay, well,
this is international.
There's no way this can exist, because if International World Milk Day existed, you know, and anyone who's listened to the show before would know, I would have to have been an ambassador.
Yeah, you're the milkman, the iron udder.
I love plain milk. I drink it by the bucket. I've never drunk it by a bucket, but I'm open to doing that.
Yeah.
I think if that existed, they would have reached out to me to be an ambassador, to host various events for International World Milk Day. Surely, if that exists, I'm cancelling all my plans for tomorrow, which won't be hard. And just committing to a day milk.
You can. Weren't your plans for tomorrow a day of milk?
Actually, it's amazing you say this. My plans for tomorrow were milk and fish and chips. So presently, I don't actually have to change anything. What's the
The last suggestion, the last day is Smile at a Stranger Day.
Smile at a Stranger Day.
So it's just encouraging people to spread a bit of joy into the world by smiling at a stranger.
I mean, smiling's an interesting one, though, because if you smile and stare for too long, it goes from being friendly to a little bit odd.
Yeah, well, it's not smile and stare. It's
true.
Smile.
So is the idea that just when you're walking past people on the street...
Well, you know, you're on the bus and no one makes eye contact and everyone pretends that no one else is there.
Sure.
They're just saying, smile at someone.
Just one smile.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm thinking, Zach, that the one that isn't real, that isn't happening tomorrow, is International Milk Day, just because that feels... The stars feel too aligned for that to be real, with that being my major passion. So I'm going to go that that's the fake one.
Incorrect. Smile at a Stranger Day was the one I made up. World Milk Day is, in fact, June 1.
Really?
And you didn't know about it, Dom, which means can you really be the world's milkman?
I'm actually furious that no one's brought International Milk Day to my attention
last
before.
Last minute, but get on the phone to your mum, because you got some celebrating to do tomorrow.
I will absolutely have at least a litre, maybe more, of plain milk tomorrow, just to celebrate. How are you going to get in the spirit?
By doing what I usually do, not drinking milk.
Okay.
Well, I'll have some coconut milk with my porridge in the morning.
Coconut milk. You know what? If they've started International Milk Day, I'm going to say International No Coconut Milk Day. That's coming next week. That is what we've got time for on the show tonight. If you want to hear the full thing back, search for Collecting Out on iTunes. You can get the podcast there. And we'll see you Monday at 10.
Bye!
From Collective Noun, grab podcasts and videos online on Facebook at Collective Noun Comedy.